Quick question. When was the last time you had a real conversation at work? Not a status update, not a Slack thread, not a "we should catch up sometime" that both you know will never happen. A real, honest human conversation. Yeah, that's what I thought. Today, we're fixing that. Hey peeps, welcome back to Workday Playdate with Improve It. I'm Erin, and this is the podcast where we talk about work, leadership, and culture in ways that can actually help. And if you are new here, hi, hello, welcome, pull up a chair, grab your coffee. This is a judgment-free zone where we get real, playful, and occasionally get a little weird in the best freaking way. And speaking of helping, if you love this show, please leave a review. 5 stars is amazing. A written review is even better. It helps other humans find us. And honestly, reading your reviews gives me the same dopamine hit as finding a forgotten snack in my bag. So thank you in advance. Now, this month on the show, we are talking all about thinking quickly on your feet. And if you know anything about improv, you know that literally that is the whole game. No script, no safety net, just you, the moment, and whatever comes next. And here's the thing. The workplace asks you to think on your feet every single day. A curveball in a meeting, a tough question from a direct report, a moment where somebody shares something real and you have about 3 seconds to decide if you're going to lean in or deflect. Those moments define your leadership more than any strategy deck ever will. Here's the problem, y'all. We have been so quick on our feet and then stopped being so quick on our feet when it comes to connection. We've gotten so scripted, so scheduled, so buried in agendas and action items that we have forgotten how to just be human with each other at work. And the data backs this up. Gallup's State of the Global Workforce report found that only 23% of employees worldwide are engaged at work. That means over 3/4 of the global workforce is either quietly checked out or actively miserable. So we're not just failing at connection. We are failing to think quickly enough to seize the small moments that actually build it. And if this is hitting home right now, I would love for you to grab our free resource. It's called the Clarity Under Pressure Toolkit, what to do in the first 5 minutes of any uncertain situation. It's your go-to guide for staying grounded, focused, and clear when it matters most so you can lead yourself and others out of the fog and into forward motion. Here are the show notes. In the show notes, you will find this link. Go grab it. Now, let's just have a moment because connection, y'all, is not a soft skill. It's a leadership reflex. And like any reflex, you can train it. And in improv, we have this principle called yes and. It means you accept what someone gives you and you build on it. No hesitation, no overthinking. You receive and you add. That is what thinking quickly on your feet really looks like at work. Not having all the answers, but having the instinct to show up, listen, and respond with something real in the moment. Now, a 5-minute coffee chat where you truly yes and another human being can shift a relationship, shift a team dynamic, and honestly, shift a whole culture. That's not soft, that is radical. And it starts with being quick enough to say yes to the moment. And nobody understands that better than today's guest. Dr. Roz Cohen is an inclusion strategist and thought partner who is passionately committed to building what she calls radically connected cultures. She's the founder of SOSA Strategies, a San Francisco-based inclusion and strategy practice, and the author of The Engagement Dilemma. With over 2 decades in HR, her research from the Leadership and Change PhD program at Antioch University focuses on the impact of inclusive leadership on employee engagement and organizational success. She blends research-backed insights with real talk, a touch of humor, which is basically the Workday Playdate love language. She's a board member, a mom of 2 hilarious teens, a foodie, which we talk about, and a travel enthusiast who believes in the transformative power of vulnerability, acceptance, and relationships rooted in courage. She is changing the world one connection at a time, and I'm so here for it. Let's welcome Roz to the Playdate. My peeps, I hope you are enjoying the show. We'll be right back after a quick break from our sponsors. Thank you for supporting those who support the show. You're listening to Workday Playdate on the Passion Struck Network. Now back to our show. Okay, y'all, Playdate peeps, you're not even ready. Welcome Dr. Roz Cohen to Workday Playdate.
Hello, hello, hello. So glad to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
You're so welcome. I already love this. I'm like, this is fun for me. So thank you for your energy. So, okay, we always like to start every episode with our guests by setting an intention for our time together. So what's a word that comes up for you that maybe you want to give or receive today? What's one word that comes to mind?
Authentic.
I love that. Why authentic?
I feel like there's so much going on in this world that authenticity gets lost.
Yeah.
Right? And authenticity can be good or bad. So I'm looking at it from a positive, but I think being authentic and really who I am and have, you know, the audience see that and sort of this be like a real conversation. So authentic is the word that pops up.
I love it. I freaking love it. Okay. And if we could have an authentic conversation anywhere in the world, like it could be anywhere. It could be Italy. It could be Greece. It could be wherever it is. Where in the world would you want to have this play date today?
So the first thing that popped in my head was you and I sitting on like lounges by the ocean.
Yes.
With umbrellas and like fun drinks and just sitting there like two girlfriends, like having a conversation while looking at the water. That's when you asked me that question, that's immediately popped up. So I think we should go. I think that's a sign that we should, after the broadcast, we should get on a plane and meet.
Okay. I'm so freaking, do you know the ocean is like my calming place? Some people don't like the ocean.
I don't get that.
Find it weird. I know, me neither. Some people find it, the waves like stressful. For me, it's like,
yeah.
You have arrived, sit and have that delicious drink with Dr. Roz. Okay.
Let's do it. That's what I'm visualized during the course of our conversation.
Oh my God. I just took a moment. My nervous system just said yes. Okay. So yes. Thank you for that. Okay. I needed that more than you know. Okay. I'm going to jump right in because you have a book called The Engagement Dilemma. And I freaking love that word dilemma because it implies that there is tension. And most leaders, because we have so many people, leaders who listen to this show, they think the answer to engagement is simple. Like just have more perks, more pizza parties, more ping pong tables, all the things, right? So what is the dilemma and what is the real tension our peeps need to understand?
Yeah. So when we think about engagement, you're exactly right. We think about, okay, so what's the next pizza party? How much money are we giving people? And don't get me wrong, money is critically important.
Yep.
But there's more to it. It's how do you make people feel connected to the work that they do and the place that they go to? And so there's this dilemma of people thinking that it has to be individualized, which it does, but that it also has to be part of the bigger culture. Mm. So there's this push and pull, and there's a lot of work involved in it. And I hear all the time, like, you know what, like the people management, like that's not my day job. It is your day job.
It is.
That's exactly what your day job is. It is to do the work to make people feel connected and as though they belong to the organization so they do their best work so the organization gets their best work. Like that's the work. That's what has to happen. So it's that dilemma. It's like, how do you make it real and how do you make it tangible?
Oh my God, I love it. Okay. Because truly, I will tell you, a lot of people get into their profession to do the thing that they're meant to do. And then when they get to the top, they have never thought about this engagement piece. They haven't thought about how to lead people. So there is a dilemma here. Okay. I love this.
And the other thing that I find, sorry to cut you off,
no,
is that we promote people into managerial positions because they do the work we hired them to do really well.
Yeah.
And we don't give them the skills that they need to have to be a really strong manager to create the engaged culture. So we have to do a better job of that as senior leaders. How do we train our people and teach our managers how to be the best they can be around people management? So it's just the other thing that I hear all the time.
I mean, it's so true. And I mean, this is why you and I have jobs Okay. This is why we exist. Because there are so many people that get thrown into these roles who have never had proper training or experience. And so this engagement dilemma, I think, is huge. I also love your notion about engagement and belonging, okay? Because I think a lot of leaders talk about this interchangeably. And I have a feeling you're going to tell us why that's a problem, okay? So if somebody has a high on engagement, and you know, let's say they take a survey, they have a high on the engagement survey, but they have low on belonging. What does that actually look like day to day? And then why should leaders care about that gap?
So when people say that they're engaged, so there are three types of engagement, right?
Yeah.
There is the I think, which is the cognitive and academic and intellectual engagement. There's the I feel, that is that visceral kind of I walk into my workplace and this feels like the work that I should be doing. It's hard to define, but it's that sense of, right? It's that. Mm-hmm. Then there's the I belong, and that's the connection piece. That is, I see people that I work with, and I feel that there's a connection to the way that we work together. I want to do good work because it's important not only to me but to the people that I work with. Right? Three types. When we talk about engagement, it's the belonging piece that sometimes we forget about.
Yeah.
Sure, I'm doing a good job. I'm getting paid well. I'm promoted to whatever. But what keeps the person in the seat? And that's the belonging. That's the feel, the being seen, being valued. And that's the kind, those are two very different things. I could go to work and do my job every day, but if something better comes along, I'm going to take it.
Yeah.
But if I belong and I feel like I'm seen and I feel like I'm valued for who I am and what I bring, I'm not going anywhere. And
that's
so we use these things interchangeably, and it's not the same thing.
Dr. Oz, I wrote a book called I See You, literally. Okay. Literally feel you on this, because you can't, it's almost an intangible. You can't describe it. It's so experiential in nature to feel like you truly belong. And I'm so glad you have that distinction. I'm so glad you bring it up. And I want to bring this into, the coffee chat revolution, because I found this part super interesting. Okay. So you said, we are calling this how quick coffee chats can transform work culture, which I love because it sounds so simple. It almost feels like a trick. So how does something as small as a coffee chat actually move the needle on connection and belonging at a larger scale?
So think about what a coffee chat is. It is not talking about how well you're doing your work. It's not talking about your growth potential, your career path. It's not talking about the day-to-day. What a coffee chat is, when you think about what that is, if you're sitting down with a friend and you're talking over a cup of coffee, you are learning about that person.
Yeah.
What makes them interesting? What is important to them? What makes them feel the issues that they're dealing with? By doing that, you have an opportunity to really know that person and see that person.
Mm.
When that happens, there's a relationship that's built. And that exchange between two people, between a manager and a person they manage, whomever, becomes the real connection. That becomes the belonging, so that when I see you walking the hallway, like, hey, how's your son doing? Like, I know he was hanging out at his grandparents' house. What does he do? You know, how's that going? What are you doing with him for the summer, right? I know school's out, blah, blah, blah. Or you say to me, hey, your daughter just graduated. How did that go? Because, and then what does that say? That says, you remember me.
Yes.
Where I was important enough to you that you're remembering things about me. What a great opportunity, right? And that's the balance. It's being recognized for who you are as an individual, but connecting to a larger group and a feeling of belonging to that group. So that's why the coffee chats are so important.
So important. So important. You know, two things. I'm coaching a leader right now who is super high on productivity, super low on emotional, relational, and very transactional.
Yep.
And, it's actually hard for them to do this. And so we are literally working on conversation pieces to to bring up, to have conversations that are more relational versus transactional, because that is, and I, for example, you know, I told you this before we hit record. I lived in Chicago for 15 years. I now live in Charleston, South Carolina. My team is all over the place, but my internal team majority sits in Chicago, and I was there last week. And I just remember we got together for lunch and we just were so excited to see each other. We genuinely love each other. We had the coffee chat at lunch, and then we went to what was supposed to be our every Monday meeting, which we do virtually. Dr. Ross, we could not transition from coffee chat to meeting because we were so happy to be in person. And we were like, this is what this time is for. Like, we know there's numbers. We need to talk about them. Let's have this time. And it was so nice. And I felt so connected to them. So I'm just like, even yes anding what you say, it freaking matters so much.
It totally does. So what do you think happened after that, right?
Yeah.
You ended up spending the time with these people, getting like reconnecting, having that engagement, not that engagement, having that energy transfer back and forth. They are going to take that and do their best work.
Yes.
They are so much more committed to the work that you're doing. They are so much more excited to be able to be like, we've got to get this done. Like, I love these people. They're important to me. They see me. They recognize me. That's what you want in an organization.
That's
right?
It.
That's what you want. Success of the individual and the organization goes hand in hand. So when people poo-poo, oh, this is so, it's the soft skills, it's the touchy-feely stuff. It's not, because there's a direct connection to work and productivity. It's a direct connection to how well the person does and how well the organization does.
It's so true. I see it all the time. I see it with the work, not only my team, but the work we do externally. Just even the work that we do is different from people's day-to-day and your work as well. Watching people transform in those sessions from human doings to human beings. Mwah, chef's kiss.
Love it.
Mwah.
Love it.
So here. Okay. Hey, peeps. I hope you're enjoying the conversation here today. We will be right back after a quick break from our sponsors. Thank you for supporting those who support the show. You are listening to Workday Playdate on the Passionstruck Network. Now back to the show. So you also, I love that you talk about inclusive leadership behaviors, and I wanted to touch on this because I think it's so great. So your research identified 7 categories of inclusive leadership behaviors that actually move the needle on engagement, which I think is amazing, especially for marginalized groups. So could you walk us through 2 or 3 of those and then give us a tangible try this tomorrow, you know, type action that we could have our peeps try in their next meeting, their next one-on-one?
Yep. When we talk about inclusive leadership, look, the term inclusion, DEI, all of this stuff has been politicized and really sort of seen as a negative, right?
Yep.
Let's pause on that part for a second. What we're talking about when we talk about inclusive leadership is how people feel. This feeling is important in the organization, how they feel as though they are valued and seen, all the stuff we have been talking about. So let's depoliticize it for a second. Everybody wants to feel like they are connected to something. It doesn't matter whether it's work, whether it's a religious group, it's a fraternity. It doesn't make a difference. People want to feel that. So how do you make people feel included? There are a couple of very easy things to do. In your next meeting, take 5 minutes at the beginning of the meeting and ask this question. If you were trapped on a desert island, what is the one food you would bring with you? Seems ridiculous, right?
I love this question.
Here's why. People will talk about the food that they love from now until the cows come home.
That's right. That's right.
Right? I did this at a staff meeting. We ended up spending 25 minutes. We got no work done. Right?
Yeah.
None of the tangible work. None of the stuff that we walked in to get. But I learned that one of my colleagues, she is an Adams Crunchy Natural Peanut Butter person.
Oh.
She would eat this from, that would be her food. So the funny thing was, mine is Skippy Chunky Peanut Butter. It's the opposite of that, right? Like, it's the processed garbage that you probably shouldn't eat. I love it. Would take it with me on a desert. We ended up having a whole conversation about why that was important to them. Why this peanut butter, what it brought for them, the value. So I learned so much about her. So what does that do? You're having this conversation. People are learning about one another. It deepens the relationship. It makes them feel seen and included. So the next time we go out for lunch, we bring peanut butter. Who knows what? But it allows that deeper connection. So I would use that as an icebreaker, the moment that you walked in.
I love it so hard. Wait, I need to know. Is there anything you're pairing with this crunchy Skippy peanut butter?
So I'm like a purist. Like I would do peanut butter and jelly all day. For me, it's like it's just either that or the Kraft macaroni and cheese. But there's too many things you need to bring with you for the Kraft macaroni and cheese. But like the peanut butter, you could just eat. It's protein. It's got some carbohydrates. It's got all the things you need to. So that would be my food.
I could talk about this topic for a very long time as well. I love food. And I would also bring an almond butter, a crunchy almond butter. I don't remember the brand, but I would bring it with Faya yogurt and an apple and then cinnamon. That's my go-to breakfast.
That's nice.
I call it the Nicole Bowl because Nicole, our learning experience manager, created it and I eat it every morning and it's so good. It is so good.
That sounds delicious.
Okay.
Okay.
See, right now we feel seen. I feel seen like you're crunchy peanut
exactly
butter,
right.
Crunchy almond butter. Right. This is making sense.
Right. And crunchy, like we get a conversation about crunchy, like crunchy versus smooth all day, every day. Don't all understand day. The smooth.
Yep.
Right. So what's just happened? Like we have this conversation. We feel connected. We feel seen. It is silly, but it's not, right?
No.
The topic may be silly, but the relationship that's built is not silly. That's real. That's about.
Yep. I freaking love it. And that right there, we talked about before we hit record, what is something you want? What would make this the best podcast ever? If somebody doesn't use that question in their next meeting, I don't know what else to give you. Okay.
Seriously.
Oh, okay. So I want to talk about, you're familiar with improv, so you know the tenet of yes and, okay?
Yes.
So we say, and for example, your dog barking, we're not going to make that a mistake. But here's the thing. In improv, we don't say that things like that are a mistake. We call it a gift. So it's becoming a part of our scene, right? So that's me yes anding you. I love my dog. Thank God is in my husband's office and is taking a nap because he's 14 years old and blind. But this has happened to me so many times.
So, I'm so sorry about this.
Like, not please. Sorry. It's a part of the scene, though. That's what I'm saying. It's a gift. It's a gift because now I get to know about your dog. So what kind of dog do you have?
He is a 4-year-old golden doodle.
Oh!
He's 20 pounds. He's a mini. I love him, and he is just the biggest jerk on the planet. Like, I don't know why he's barking. There's nothing. I'm looking outside. Absolutely nothing going on. Don't know why he's barking at all.
I love it. Well, my dog is an 8-pound toy poodle, okay? And his name is Big, last name Deal. Mm-hmm. And his middle initials are FN. Uh-huh. And,
that's great.
He's an interesting one, but he's 14. He's so old, but he's so great. He's been like my baby for so long. So I love that you have a doodle. Doodles are awesome. I love a doodle.
They are, but you know, man, they are just a piece of work. All of them in general.
They're high energy. They are high energy. I know that. But see, like this brings me to improv because we do say in improv, there are no mistakes, only gifts. And we talk about in improv, the best scenes happen when people are fully committed to making the other person look good, right? And so that is what I feel like inclusive leadership is helping people make other people look good. So how, if you could describe one tool in your toolkit that you use that helps leaders shift from managing to actually seeing their people, what would it be?
Know your own stuff.
Yeah.
So when you understand the blind spots that you have, when you understand those biases that you have, because we all do, right? We talk about this all the time, right? Everybody's got stuff. You grew up in the world. You have stuff. It just is what it is. When you know your stuff and you can pause and see what it's interfering in your ability to relate to someone else, that is a gift, talking about gift. Because if I know that I'm sitting across from someone and I'm interviewing them, and they are, let's say they are a native East Coaster, right? I'm from New York originally. So, you know, I always have an affinity towards towards a New Yorker. Like, just do. I know that about myself. I immediately feel familiar. I immediately, the accent comes out. I moved out of New York 25 years ago, but I know that about me. And so I have to be conscious of that so that I don't either bias against or for.
Yeah.
So if we can do that and know your own stuff, that will make you a better leader, because it'll impact and help you understand how you're going to behave and make it less prominent or less problematic.
I love that. Know your own stuff. Also, let me just say this for free. When you told me you were in San Francisco, I was like, she's definitely from New York, and that's my own bias, but I love it. It's my favorite accent, and I love it. I love New York so much. So that is, it's a good bias, because I'm like, yes, I love direct. I love it.
Totally.
I love it. Okay. So, all right. Well, let's talk about this. This month on the show, we're talking all about thinking quickly on your feet, which is obviously what we do in improv. So what do you do in the moment when somebody shares something vulnerable or hard in a meeting and then the room gets awkward? How do you think on your feet that in a way that builds trust versus shuts someone down?
So the first thing that I do if they're sharing something vulnerable is I thank them for doing it, because by doing that, you sort of release a little bit of attention, whether it's a one-on-one conversation or you're in a group. You don't have to agree. You don't have to accept. Well, you do have to accept it. You don't have to agree. But by thanking someone, you are acknowledging both that they have said something difficult or something that could be problematic. It also then allows you to ask another question, right? So if you and I are in a conversation and you say something and I say, thank you for saying that, tell me why you said that. Like, why is that important for you? So being curious in conversations allows you to understand just a little bit more. Because we're going to come at the conversation with assumptions. We're going to come at, like, what did you mean by that? We're going to say, oh, well, when she said this, she meant this. We don't know that. So ask the question, right? Thank you for saying that. Tell me more.
Oh, my God.
To say that, those kinds of things.
Dr. Roz, you and I are simpatico, okay? Because it is yes and. That is yes and. That is yes, I hear you. And it doesn't mean you have to agree. The yes is not the agreeance. It means thank you and acknowledgement. And I freaking love it. That to me, there's so many ways to say it and to live it. And that what you described on your side is so beautiful. So I love that the curiosity piece is there, that, you know, there are so many people in life who genuinely aren't curious, and it makes me sad. I think about the people in my life who are curious and who just kind of dig and because they want to know you more. They want to understand you. And it just, the relationship is deeper. It's so much more meaningful. It's authentic. Yes. There's your word.
There it is. Yep.
There's your word.
That, right. It's exactly
okay.
Right.
I want to talk to you too, because you use this term, radically connected culture, which I freaking love. So if there is a peep, we call our community the peeps, who's listening right now thinking, my culture is more politely disconnected, what is the first thing they should do this week to start shifting that into this radically connected culture? I love that word, radically connected. What should they do?
Oh, that's a good question. So part of me wants to say, ask more questions, going back to what we just talked about.
Yep.
When people are radically connected, they are not afraid of conflict.
Mm-hmm.
They do it in a way that moves things forward, that progresses things. They don't do it just to be a jerk, or they don't do it just to sort of, like, you know, stand up against it. They do it because they want to come back to the best solution. That may be a little too much to do as the first step, but you want to get there. You want to get to a point where conflict and challenge is done in a way that's productive. It's done in a way to understand and uncover. It's done in a way that moves things forward. But I think the first thing to do is ask more questions. Is someone's, you know, If someone says something, think about what it's saying to you in your head. Are you making an assumption about what that means? Are you sort of going to the next step? Do you really know what they mean by what they just said? Maybe, maybe not. And so what if you ask, say, you know what? Tell me more about that. I want to better understand you.
Yep. That is exactly what I was thinking. Tell me more. Tell me more. Such an easy question. Tell me more.
And really listen, though. Like, that's the other. Don't just say, tell me more, and then be like, okay, what do I have to get at Amazon? And who do I have to get? Like, don't go into your food shopping list, right? But really listen to what they're saying.
I feel you so hard on that. And we, you know, Brené Brown says, clear is kind. And I think that, to me, is also simpatico with that, because there are so many times as a leader, I used to run from confrontation, but I really think that this radical connection does come from being super clear and also gaining understanding, being curious, like you said.
That's it.
I feel like I could talk to you forever and a day. Okay, so this is Workday Playdate. So I have two more questions. This one's really important. How are you going to make your workday more playful today?
Okay, so I recently left my full-time gig for a variety of reasons that are not important. I am a person that thrives on structure, right? Like, I need to get up in the morning, I have my coffee, I do my Wordle, I walk the dog, like, I have the whole structure. But during the course of the day, I found myself going, what the hell am I going to do, right? And again, there's always work stuff. So I made three tasks that I do every day. One is a physical task. Like, I got to go to the gym. I got to walk the dog. I got to do something with my body to move it. Second thing is work. I need to do something that moves my work forward, whatever that might be. It's this podcast, it's sending something to a friend, to talk, whatever. The third thing, I haven't done it in years, I like doing crafts, whether it's knitting or whatever. So my third thing every day that is fun for me is some craft. And right now I'm like into mosaics. So I'm like creating mosaic trays, I'm doing mosaic frames, I'm looking at tiles online. So that will be one of the things that I do today is some sort of craft project. That's my fun.
I love that. That is, you know what? I've not heard that one yet. And that makes me very happy. I like an anomaly around here. And I actually love that you're doing something with your hands. Like, that makes me really happy too, that you're kind of leaving the mind, getting into the handwork, which I think is so important. Dr. Roz, I think you're dope. And I know the peeps are going to want to find you. So where do we go? Where do we tell them? Where can they find more?
Very easy. Go to drrozcohen.com. Easy to find me.
That's it. We will put all the links to that in the show notes too, so our peeps can easily find you. I had the best time on a lounge chair with you with our special drink, looking at the ocean, and I feel like it was super authentic. How about you?
Totally was. So let me ask you a quick question.
Yeah.
What's your drink? What are you drinking when we're sitting on the chairs?
Wait, okay. I have to tell you this. This is so timely. I just finished a 30-day no alcohol cleanse, which, you're looking at me like I look at myself. I'm like, what? Which I've never done. Only, you know, when I had a child, so I didn't drink then. And then there was like other, you know, when I'm sick like that. So long story short, I'm going on a giant trip in a month. Okay. And I'll get to the drink in just a second, I promise. But I was so overwhelmed. And there was like, I would go to dinner and have a couple drinks and then wake up the next day and my brain was foggy. And I just told my husband, I said, I'm not going to drink for 30 days. I'm just going to try it. I'm like curious to see. So he said, okay, great. And we're doing this big, it's a giant, like we're literally going to Singapore for 2 weeks, Shanghai and Bali in a month. And we're bringing our son. Okay. So for a month.
I love it so much.
So I just finished, I'm on day 32 as we're recording this today. And I've really been thinking about like, what is my comeback drink? I think it's an Aperol Spritz. I love an Aperol Spritz. It's summer. It's like, you know, it's a beautiful glass. It looks gorgeous. It's that, or if I'm really feeling it, a dirty martini with blue cheese olives.
Oh God, I love a blue cheese olive. Oh my God, are you kidding me?
Okay. Okay. What about you? What's your drink? This is important.
It's super. It is important. So I am a tequila girl.
Oh, okay.
Which is sort of interesting because tequila is very polarizing. Either you love it or hate it. Like you have that bad experience when you were younger and you can never do it again.
Right.
That's exactly right. It's one of the two.
Yeah.
I like a margarita. It's like, it's always a good go-to, but I like interesting tequila drinks. And I can't think of one right now, but it would be on the lunch. If you're having Aperol spritz, I'm having some sort of fun tequila drink, and that's what we're drinking.
Oh my gosh, I love this for us. And see, that question right there brought us closer together. Another great question you can ask your team. I just adore you. So we will keep you in this Peeps community. Peeps, go check out Dr. Roz. We'll put the link to her website in the show notes. Thank you so much for playing.
Thank you. This was like literally the best time, the best time. So thank you for that. And have a phenomenal vacation.
Oh my gosh. Thank you. I will talk to you soon. Okay, peeps, as we wrap, here's what I want to leave you with. We have made work so complicated, so optimized, so full of platforms and processes and programs. And somewhere along the way, we forgot the simplest, most powerful thing we can do. Talk to each other like humans with curiosity and care and maybe a decent cup of coffee. Connection is not a line item. It is the foundation of everything else that everything is built on. And when we fail to build it, everything starts to crack. Roz, thank you for reminding us that belonging is not a buzzword. It's a practice. And it starts with showing up for one real conversation at a time. Now, my friends, here is the Playdate practice, your homework for the week. This week, I want you to schedule one coffee chat with somebody at work who you do not usually talk to. Not your work bestie, not your direct report, someone outside your usual circle. Keep it to 15 minutes with no agenda, no deliverables, just two questions. What are you working on that you're excited about? And you could also ask Roz's question. If you were stranded on a deserted island, what food would you bring? I love that question. That's it. That's the whole Playdate practice. One conversation, 15 minutes, zero spreadsheets involved. Because here's the thing. You can't yes and someone you've never talked to. Connection is the first move. Thinking on your feet is the second. Everything else follows. And if you want support showing up as a leader who stays grounded and clear, especially when things feel uncertain, go grab the Clarity Under Pressure Toolkit. What to do in the first 5 minutes of any uncertain situation. It's free, it's in the show notes, and it will help you lead yourself and others through the messy moments with more calm and more clarity. All right, peeps, that's it. Until next time, keep playing, keep learning, and keep failing forward. I'll see you next time on Workday Playdate with Improve It.